The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Class of 2020 was announced on January 15th with six artists and one behind-the-scenes player joining the hallowed ranks. The list includes four first-time nominees and will become official on May 2nd at the 35th Annual Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Induction Ceremony. Good evening for Around Cincinnati. I'm Elaine Deal. On the other end of the phone is Greg Harris, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Greg, welcome.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be on with you and to be sitting right here in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Ohio Treasure. It is a special place, and we're so thrilled to welcome these new inductees into the Hall of Fame family.
I was going to ask you, if you're up in Cleveland right now, is it a little bit cold?
It is a little bit cold, but, you know, it's warm inside the museum. And right now on our second floor, there's visitors playing instruments and jamming with each other. There's amazing artifacts. There's things that tell our life story all over this museum. So it's a warm place inside.
Well, let's dive right in. Who's going in this year?
So this year's class, it's a very diverse class for musical genres that are all under the canon of rock and roll. But I'll just read them off. Depeche Mode, sort of our first synth-pop band going in. The Doobie Brothers, longtime eligible, first-time nominated, they're going in. The Great, the voice of her generation, Whitney Houston. Nine Inch Nails, a real Northeast Ohio product. The founder, Trent Reznor, cut his teeth as a musician in Cleveland, so Nine Inch Nails is going in. Our seventh hip-hop artist, the notorious B.I.G. from Brooklyn. And then the great English godfathers of glam rock, T-Rex, are going in. And those six are our performers, so Depeche, Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Nine Inch Nails, notorious B.I.G., and T-Rex.
And who's the behind-the-scenes player?
So on the Behind the Scenes Award, it's the Ahmet Erdogan Award, who's a legendary music figure that founded Atlantic Records. We're honoring two with that award. One is Irving Azoff, who ran Live Nation for years, manages the Eagles, represents artists performing rights for Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen and many others. And then John Landau, who was a early rock and roll writer for Crawdaddy magazine, and then he wrote and edited for Rolling Stone for 10 years, became a producer and produced the MC5 and Jackson Browne, and then co-producer with Bruce Springsteen of some of Bruce's greatest records. And then he moved to the management side, and he represents, among other artists, Springsteen as well. And he's been on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Foundation board for over 30 years and has just given so much of his life to rock and roll.
Would the world have known about Bruce Springsteen without John Landau?
Well, you know, he is the one that had that famous quote after seeing Bruce play in Boston in the 70s. And he said, "I've seen the future of rock and roll, and his name is Bruce Springsteen." And, you know, he was pretty accurate. And I think within a year of writing that, sort of in an underground rock review, Bruce was on the cover of both Time and Newsweek and just exploded.
What is exactly your criteria for nomination or voting on artists?
First and foremost, you had to have made a record 25 years ago that's commercially available. That gives us some historic perspective. And then the primary criteria is impact and influence. Did you take the art form in a new direction? Did you influence those that came after you? And when you look at this year's class, impact and influence, Depeche Mode, pioneers in synth pop, in sort of the goth sound, and then this bigger sound. Nine Inch Nails, our first sort of industrial band to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Real leaders in that. And T-Rex, they start as a folk outfit, and they morph into this glam rock pioneers. They really set the stage. They influence Bowie, and they influence Ian Hunter, but they also influence bands like Guns N' Roses and Metallica and Nirvana. T-Rex is a huge influence, and you can say the same about the notorious B.I.G., a big influence on the art form, wonderful writer, and great delivery of his lyrics as well.
How much input do you personally have, Greg?
Well, one, there's a group called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Foundation, and they've been managing the election process since the very beginning. They have a nominating committee that meets every September, and it's about 30 people, and I'm one of the nominating committee members. So I get to participate in that process. We each nominate two artists, and I try and bring in my own experience with music, but also a bit of the voice of the fan when I'm in that room. And then after that, when it goes out to a vote, the voting body are all the other inductees. So we've been talking about Springsteen. He votes. Smokey Robinson votes. Tina Turner votes. And the members of the Red Hot Chili Peppers and the members of Sly and the Family Stone, they all vote. So the idea is it's recognition by your peers. Mm-hmm. There are some writers and historians and others that are in the voting body too. And that's that important piece of this.
So your board is quite diverse, as is your class this year.
Yeah, you know, we take the approach that rock and roll was never just four skinny guys with long hair and guitars. It was always diverse. In the 50s, it's street corner doo-wop harmony, existing with rip-roar and rockabilly, existing with, you know, soul gospel stuff.
Yeah.
It's all rock and roll. It was very diverse in the 70s. You know, we all know it's glam rock, there's punk rock, there's dance music, there's soul music, there's R&B, there's southern rock. It's all there, and it just gets even more fragmented in the 80s, and we embrace all of it. And on our team here at the museum, you know, we all love different things. Different things motivate us and inspire us, and it helps us better connect with our visitors by being true to those things.
Do an artist's sales at all enter into the picture?
The artist's sales, it doesn't directly impact, if you think about it, a band like the Velvet Underground. There's a great quote, I think Brian Eno may have said it, that they only sold 100,000 records, but everybody that bought a record started a band. But then the other part on sales, you can make an argument that sales do have an impact because you get to impact a broader audience, and so your reach is greater. And I'll think about, say, a Run DMC and the Beastie Boys. Their impact was exponentially greater because they really brought what was a insider's music out to the wider world, to the suburbs, if you will. They brought it from being a specialized genre to being in mass culture. And that had a greater impact because of so many that came after them. You know, it isn't a hard, fast criteria. You don't have to have had number one hits. You don't have to have sold a ton of records. But did you do something that others emulated and that took things in a new direction? A great example of that is T-Rex this year. They've never cracked the top 10 in the U.S., but if you ask 100 musicians about influence, many are going to cite T-Rex. They had a reach that was far greater than their chart status. So, you know, there isn't a hard, fast rule. There are those that sold lots of records that maybe didn't do things that were specifically unique, and those folks probably have not been nominated.
My guest is Greg Harris, the CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, here with news about the class of 2020. And that, of course, includes a party. It is rock and roll. Big induction ceremony. What can you tell us about this year's event, Greg?
So this year's induction will be on May 2nd. It's in Cleveland, Ohio, and it will be broadcast live on HBO as it happens. It's the first time that we're doing this with HBO in this fashion. We're very excited for it. But it's worth mentioning that we'll be doing events all week long up here in Cleveland. We'll have a celebration weekend the weekend before. We'll have concerts, and we'll have bands playing in clubs all over Cleveland. There will be hotel and restaurant specials. Some of the inductees will come to town early and do some special, unique performances. And anybody that's a music fan might want to book a room and come up here and hang out with us for the week. And then to add to that, we'll be building a special exhibit about this year's induction class. We have a whole floor that's the Hall of Fame floor, and each of these inductees will have a plaque. We'll dedicate the plaque that week, probably the day before the induction, and really open their exhibit that celebrates their career and allows fans to connect with this induction class. And that will open a week before the induction ceremony.
Any chance you'll tell us who will play at the induction ceremony?
You know, it's a little early to project who will play, but I will say that some of these bands are very active, and so expect to see them, but we also get some great combinations. You know, this is the ceremony when Yes was inducted, Geddy Lee of Rush inducted them and then played bass with them. When Linda Ronstadt was inducted, she was unable to travel for the ceremony, so performing in her stead was Bonnie Raitt, Emmylou Harris, Stevie Nicks, Carrie Underwood, Sheryl Crow, and Glenn Frey of the Eagles, all sharing the stage. So we expect some magical moments to happen on May 2nd at that induction ceremony.
Tickets are available through your website?
Tickets will go on sale in February. We have a group of people that are our members. They support us all year long. They're going to have a chance to buy them a little bit early, and then an allotment will be sold to the general public. The concert hall that the ceremony happens in is quite small, and they will sell out immediately. If you are unable to get tickets to be in the show, you can watch live on HBO from anywhere in the world.
And if you wanted to visit the hall on a non-induction day, what are some of the other exhibitions you got going on now?
You know, we're open every day of the year until next Thanksgiving. And we've got some major exhibits right now. You can see last year's induction class. You can play instruments again on our second floor in our garage and jam with other visitors. And we have a blockbuster exhibit that we co-curated with the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York that's called Play It Loud, The Instruments of Rock. And it has the most iconic instruments from the most iconic artists. And when I say that, what it means is, you know, we have Elvis's guitar from the Sun Sessions. We have John Lennon's guitar from the first Ed Sullivan appearance. We'll have Stevie Ray Vaughan's main guitar and Prince's main guitar all on exhibit right now. It's an incredible exhibit, well worth seeing. And we regularly have exhibits by the Motown greats, by the Beatles, the Stones, and all of the forerunners of rock and roll all the way up to today. So anytime's a good time to visit the museum.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland opened the doors to its iconic building in September of 1995 with their mission to engage, teach, and inspire through the power of rock and roll, sharing stories of the people, events, and most of all, the music that shaped our world. The class of 2020 will be officially inducted on Saturday, May 2nd at the Hall in Cleveland, and for the first time ever, the event will be broadcast live on HBO. My guest has been Rock and Roll Hall of Fame CEO Greg Harris. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
For 91.7 WVXU, I'm Elaine Deal.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And we both know I'm not what you need.